convicts us, it changes us, it speaks truth when there's deception. And God, I pray that you would that we would receive your engrafted word into our lives. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. All right, so in review, so we've been talking about faith, and we've been talking about how faith comes and how we've been talking about what faith looks like. And we said this, we talked about irrational fears, and I told my story of sleepwalking and my irrational fears of the crazy picture of my mom that was in the hallway that would move, her eyes would move, and I would have crazy fears of all that stuff. And actually, somebody came up to me and goes, "You need some, like, probably some inner healing there, Dave." I go, "No, I'm good. That's been taken care of." So, but irrational fears. And now that as we get older, like, irrational fears, they seem to, like, hit us, like, in waves. And, like, the worst case scenario, we tend to think worst case scenario, right? And we talked about, and then Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, he talks about that we are hard pressed on every side, right? And boy, that can really describe a lot of the way we live and a lot of our lives. We're hard pressed. Some of you say, "I am hard pressed." And like some of you, as Jeremy was sharing this morning, you say, exactly how big is that hill, right? And you're like, when is that thing going to crest, right? And when are we going to start that descent? And you think, man, this is overcoming. But the truth is, we do live in a fallen world. This world is not our forever home, like Julie was saying. This is not our forever home, right? This battle that we fight is only here, right? We live in a fallen world, and the God of this world causes this world to be a fallen kingdom, if you will, for all you Jurassic Park people. A fallen kingdom, it really is true. Okay, fallen kingdom, Jurassic Park, okay, all right. So I actually saw that movie this weekend. It was pretty intense and crazy, but we do, it's fallen. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Yet, we don't have to live, even though we live in a fallen world, we do not have to live defeated. You do not have to live overwhelmed, and you can live in victory, and you can live as a winner as we walk through this earth, amen? No matter what hits you. And we talked about that faith is not of the natural person, right? Faith is of our spirits. You can't have faith in your mind. It doesn't work because your mind will lie to you. Your mind will speak all the lies and all the deceptions. You can't figure this thing out. The Bible says that the eternal things are spiritually discerned. They're not mentally discerned. They're spiritually discerned. So sometimes you have to shut that mind off and say, "Mind, shut up and agree with the Word of God," right? And the truth of God's Word. And let your spirit man rise up. And we talked about the fact that whatever you feed lives, and whatever you starve dies. So we have to decide, what are we feeding? Have we been feeding our minds? Have we been feeding just our intellect? Or have we been feeding our spirit man by worship, by being in God's presence, by God's Word, by being around other people, by encouraging other people, and by having other people speak life into us? Like, what are we feeding on? And so we talked about that faith is that answer, that it overcomes. What causes you to overcome? By faith. 1 John 5:4, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." The Bible says that by faith the walls of Jericho fell. By faith David slew Goliath. By faith Rahab was spared. By faith, we're going to talk about this more, Abraham left his homeland to pursue God. By faith, Gideon won his battle. And by faith, the woman was healed just by touching Jesus' garment. By faith. It's by faith that we're going to obtain the promises. And we talked about how do you grow in your faith. And we talked about last week, last week we had the big table up here. Remember the table? We talked about how do you know that you have faith. It's not just knowledge of what God's Word says. It's not just knowledge of God's promises. Man, we can know all day that God provides. We can know all day that God's Word says God provides, that we have an abundance towards every good work, right? That God provides everything we need according to His riches and glory. We can know that. We can know that scripture. We can have it plastered on our thing, and we can know it, and you say, I know that word, but will he do it for me? But will he do that for me? And we talked about faith is not based on just one type of knowledge. It's based on two types of knowledge. Knowledge of God's promises, right? And knowledge of God's faithfulness. That God will do what he said he will do. And he will do it not just for Julie, not just for Craig, not just for, you know, not just for Jessica, people that just, you know, you seem like, oh my gosh, they're just so spiritually aware and all. No, God will do it for you. Yes. For you, for me. God will do it. He said, God will provide everything what I need according to his riches and glory. And I know that God is faithful and he will bring it to pass for me. For me. And so we have to know both. How do we build those different things? And that's the thing. We need to decide, where are we lacking in these knowledges? If I'm lacking in God's promises, you know, like we've said before, if you're fighting sickness, if you're fighting financial ruin, don't study Revelations. Go to the Word. Find out what the Word says about your situation. Find out what the truth is that goes against all the lies. And then build up your knowledge of God's faithfulness. Sit down like Sarah. I'm going to preach my whole message from last week. So sit down like Sarah did and say, look, and say, God, the Bible says that she received strength to conceive because she considered him faithful. What does that mean? She thought, you know what? And she thought, think about what God's done for you. Consider what God's done for you in the past. Consider where you would be if it had not been for the Lord. Right? I love that scripture in Psalms that says, if it hadn't been for the Lord, all my enemies would have overtaken me. If it hadn't been for the Lord, all this stuff. Man, let me tell you something. There's more that would have happened to you if it hadn't been for the Lord. God has been faithful to you. And God, if God's been faithful to you then, he's going to be faithful to you today. Amen? So we're going to move on a little bit, and we're going to talk about this subject this morning, that faith We're going to start how faith comes, real quick. The Bible says, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith comes to us by God. Romans 10, chapter, verse 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We receive faith by the hearing of God's word. And we say this, and we talked about this, James chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7, faith. But James 1 verse 6 and 7, but he must ask in faith without doubting. For listen to Scripture. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect he will receive anything from the Lord. See, like this matter of faith isn't just for a denominational sect, right? This is, well, they believe in this, right? This matter of faith is for all believers. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible says that if you don't have faith, don't expect to receive anything from God. That's a pretty strong statement. And in this context, he's actually talking about wisdom. God giving you wisdom. The Bible says in the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it's in the Holman's Standard Version. It says, now faith is the reality of what we hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. By faith. Faith is the thing, and like we said, it's not by the natural. But here's the part where sometimes we miss it. We can know God's promises. We can know God's faithfulness. But also, your faith has to be released. Your faith has to be acted on. Right? Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive and out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise as in a foreign country. So let's look at that. Let's unpack that story of Abraham. All right? And we'll go. This is really where we want to get started. Genesis chapter 11, verse 27. It says, this is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. We know Lot because there's going to be, you know, somebody close to him that's going to turn into a human salt shaker. Right? So we know Lot. So this is Lot. This is Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, and in the land of his birth. Abraham and Nahor both married. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's, whatever these guys' names are, wife was, okay, you can read your Bible this way, it's okay, right? How do you say Nahor's wife's name there? Who? Yeah, okay. She was the daughter of Haran. Both of those guys. Now, Sarah was childless. Hear this part. Now, Sarah was childless because she was not able to conceive. Right? So here we have this family. Right? And here we have the woman, the wife of, Abram, not able to conceive. Barren. Right? So, God speaks to Abram, right? Which, he speaks to Abram. I'm just going to quit this. I'm looking at my notes. Okay, God speaks to Abram, right? And he says this. The Lord says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, said to Abram, go from your country and from your people and from your father's household to the land I will show you. Leave everything, Abram. You hear that? Leave everything. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will bring a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So watch this in verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. So here you have Abram and his wife and his nephew, right? His fatherless nephew, Lot. And God tells him, go out of, actually they're in Haran at this point. And they say, go out of Haran and go to this land that I have called you to go. So the Bible says that they just left. Now that little phrase is powerful. That little phrase, and they left. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. So here's one of these times where if you don't personalize this and look at this from the Abram's point of view, you miss it all, right? You miss it. So let's think about this. So Abram's wife is barren. Lot's dad is dead. So now you have your nephew living with you, hanging with you, and God speaks to you and says, I'm going to make you a great nation. But I want you to leave where you're at and go to the land that you don't know. Matter of fact, the land that they don't know of is about 500 miles away. So it's like, leave Atlanta, go to Washington, D.C., and I'm going to make you a great nation. First question in my mind, if I'm Abram, what's wrong with here? Like, right? Right? Like, what is wrong with right here? This seems like this place I grew up in. Actually, we can get a head start, God, because people know me, right? We're good. Or maybe it's better that they go because they know him. Who knows? But they leave. He says, go. Like, your first question is like, why Washington, D.C.? Why just go, you know, straight up the road? Why? And then another question is, I don't know if you know or not, God, because I know you say you're all-knowing, but it looks like you kind of like missed a little detail here that my wife is childless. And like, how is this all going to happen, right? There's so many questions. And then maybe you're thinking, well, maybe Abram's thinking, well, maybe Lot. Maybe Lot's the guy. Maybe he's the, you know, he's fatherless, Lot's fatherless. Maybe he's coming along, and maybe it's going to be through him, and I'm going to be his guardian, and we're going to do this, you know, and he's kind of like my son already. And God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. Here's the thing. Watch this. This is what I want you to grab hold of. There are so many questions. So many how questions. How is this going to happen? How is all this going to work out? Like, there are so many multiple on different levels. How are you going to, and I guess, God, you're going to provide for me as we leave, right? We're going to go, and you're going to provide all the way there. And once we get there, is there going to be any other people there? And how are they going to receive me once I'm, see, there's all kind of, and when you walk for 500 miles, your mind, I'm sure, has a lot of scenarios that goes through your mind. Of how many different, I mean, some of you go on a 500-mile road trip, like in your car, and your mind just goes and goes. I mean, just think, walking, like, it's like a 7-day, I think it's like a 7-8-day walk. And that's Google Maps. I did Google Map it. That's if you'd walk straight and without stopping. So I do that when I study, like Google Map it, right? So I did. How is this going to happen? And you know what's crazy? You know how many answers to those questions God gives? Zero. Zero. God, how is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? How are you going to work all this together? Because I have a lot of questions and a lot of things that are flooding my mind. But Abram just went. He started walking. And then, can you imagine his wife? If your wife is like my wife, now we're going where? I have spent all this time making us a home here, Abram, and we're just going to up and leave. And I'm just supposed to say that God just spoke to you. And I don't know if you know, Abram, but I don't have any kids. Right? And God says, go. I almost believe that God gave Sarah more faith than Abram to follow her husband to go. Amen. And all the wives said, amen. Amen. Faith comes by hearing God's word. Faith is based on the knowledge of God's promises and God's faithfulness. But faith has to be acted on. There's got to be acting faith to do what God has asked you to do in whatever way that is. And so, David, are you going to sit here and tell us exactly how to walk out our faith? No. Because that's for you and the Lord to decide. It's really for you and God to figure it out. Now, there's some principles that I'm going to talk about. How do you act on what you believe? What if it's money? What if it's a financial thing? If it's a financial thing, we know from God's Word what God's Word says about provision. And some of God's promises are hooked up with actions that already are out there in the Word of God of what we're supposed to do to get those responses, right? So financially, the Bible teaches us to be givers, to be financial givers. The Bible teaches us to tithe, to give, and it shall be given to us, right? He says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, right? Tithe, 10%, right? He says, give all of your tithe into the storehouse. And he said, watch me and test me that I will not pour out God's blessing on you, that you can't take in, right? So, tithing, giving, be a giver. Be a giver. It's this crazy thing that as we give, and not even of your money, like you give of your life, you give of your energy, you give of your wisdom and your talent. You give those to God, and you watch God return that to you. You cannot. The principle of the God's word is this: you cannot outgive God. You can't. Can't do it. You can't outlabor God. You can't out financially give God because God will pour it back into you. It's a promise from God's word. So what do you do? How do you act on what you believe? Become a giver. Become a tither. Become somebody that God can get disciplined in your finances. How about that? There's an act of faith. Get disciplined in your finances. Some of us, God can't bless us because we're not disciplined in our finances. Crickets. What about healing? What about healing? What does God say about your body? The Bible talks about that God, you are God's temple. How are you taking care of your temple? How are you taking care? I mean, this whole health and nutrition thing is not just a secular thing. It's a godly thing. How are you taking care of the body God's given you? Etta says it like this. She says, you eat to fuel your body. You don't eat just for pleasure. You eat to fuel your body. And how are you taking care of God, of the temple God's given you? Listen, by doing that, it's an act of faith. You're telling your body, shut up, I'm only going to eat what God's word, and I'm going to honor God with by what I eat. Wow. Amen. Amen. Jeremy's lost a ton of weight, right? But because of what he's done to his body, he's exercising. He's out there. I don't want to tell how much, but it's considerable. It's like a lot. He's done great. But it's been through discipline. I know people that were on the verge. They were in the early stages of diabetes, and they changed their diet and was gone. Take care of healing. Healing. It's all a part of the same thing. And then believe God. We'll talk about that in a minute. What does God's word say about your body? Children, what about our kids? How can we act in faith with our kids? The Bible teaches us to pray for our children. Pray for them. Are we actively praying for them? Or do we just wish and hope and kind of in our minds think, man, I hope everything works out? Are we actively praying for our children? Because that's an act of faith. Prayer is actually an act of faith. Praying for our children. The Word teaches us to discipline our kids. Are we disciplining our kids? Are we disciplining them like we're supposed to? Are we training them in the things of God? And then are we loving our children? Sometimes, parents, you know this as well as I do. Sometimes you have to, on purpose, love your kids. Love your kids. Parent guys, that teaches us not to don't put huge burdens on our kids so that they reject us. Right? Be careful how much discipline and how much overbearing that you get on your kids, right? It's going to get better, I promise. What about this? This is a big one. What about your purpose? What about your purpose? What has God called you to do? What is your purpose? Paul says, tells Timothy, I don't have the scripture, but Paul tells Timothy, he says, don't neglect the gift that was put in you. Because as you work that thing, if you don't neglect it, then it'll your progress, he says, don't neglect it so that your progress may be evident to all. Right? He says, Timothy, there's a gift put on the inside of you. But that gift can remain dormant if you don't exercise it. Put attention to it. There's gifts in you that God has put on the inside of you. If you don't exercise those giftings, they'll lay in you dormant. So what has God called you to do? Exercise those gifts. Man, let me tell you, if God's given you a gift whatever that gift is, I mean, spiritually, if it's naturally, exercise that gift. You know what? Sometimes I'll be honest. I'll just be transparent. You know, I'll never be a number 10 on the admin scale, right? It's just not part of, let my poor wife just go, no, he won't, never, never, never. And it's something I've just had to accept. So, but it's not one of my things. It's not my thing. You know what? Let me just tell you, you know how much I do work on my admin as a pastor. You have to, you know, have a little bit of admin about you, but I'll never be a 10, right? Because that's not where my primary giftings are in. So what do? You put people around you who are gifted in admin, right, to help you, to help me, My daughter's been away for a week, and I feel like I've lost half my brain, right? Because my daughter is she's growing in her gifting of admin. She's really good. But the things that I'm good at, boy, if I exercise those, I can be great at them. The things that you're gifted in, exercise those giftings. Man, don't spend all of your time trying to be something that you were never created to be. Man, spend your time of what God says you are and what God's created you to be. Right? Does that mean neglect everything else? No, surely not. But what has God gifted you? Exercise that thing so that your profiting may be evident to all. And listen, by some of us, by faith, you just need to start. You just need to start. Some of you, you have a gifting of teaching, right? You have a gifting of a prophetic gifting on the inside of you. You have a gifting. Like, can I just be pastoral? What are you waiting on? Seriously, what are we waiting on? And can I be real blunt? Are we waiting for a pulpit? Are we waiting for, you know what? If your gifting is teaching, teach. Teach. Please, as a pastor, I'm encouraging you, please teach. Get together with somebody. Teach the Word. Go over the Word of God. It's a scriptural principle. If you're older, teach the younger. Man, if you float, pray for people. Amen? Use your gifting to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And exercise that. I've watched it. It's amazing. We do a Spirit Life class, and we teach on how do you flow in the prophetic. Like, how do you kind of, and we've watched people that never would have known that gifting was even available. And people have had, listen, misconceptions of how that flows and how that works out and everything. And they have to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, and and have a big scene and whatever. But we teach people, hey, you could just have a word for somebody. God gives you a word as you're praying for somebody. You can just give that word. That's prophetic. And God can give that to you. But if you don't exercise that gift, it'll lay in you dormant. Like it never was in there in the beginning. Exercise your gifting. Some of you, I'm not going to look up. Some of you have blogs you need to write. Some of you have books in you that you need to just start writing. You just need to start putting pen to paper, or you don't put pen to paper anymore. That was a long time ago. You put fingers to keyboard. Yeah, well, okay, some people still write like that. Some people, you have websites you need to build. Some of you have financial ideas, business ideas that you need to launch. There's giftings that are in you. Some of you are like, you just, anyway, you hear me. Start. Abraham didn't, you have all these questions. So did Abraham, or Abram at that point. He had all these questions, but he just, isn't that powerful? He just started walking. How did he activate his faith? By leaving. God said, leave, I'll leave. God says, start writing. Listen, start writing. There's somebody in this place that I meet with, and they felt like God put a book on the inside of them. And you know what they did? They started writing. And now they're almost done with their book. All these questions they would ask me. Well, I don't, here's the fears. Here's the fear, the real fears of his writing. He said, I don't know if anybody will read it. I don't even know if anybody will ever care that I wrote a book. But you know what? I'm writing it. I'm writing the book. And now they're almost done. But you know what happened? God spoke to them. Hey, write a book. Write on this topic. You know what they started doing? Every day. Write a little bit. Well, I don't know, but every day. And whatever. Discipline. Write it. And all those battles are fighting. I don't know who's going to read this stuff. I'm getting blessed. It's really good. I know I'm going to read it. But he just started. Isn't that awesome? What is in you? What is in you? Do it. Start. Some of you you say, you know what? I see this person here. Here's where it's beautiful. Well, it's beautiful everywhere, but this is where it's, I love it. There's some of you, you see somebody and you go, man, that person really needs a mentor. That person really needs somebody to come alongside and teach. I want to be that for somebody. And then you have, listen, all these questions. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know what I would say. How do you mentor? I don't know how that works. You know what? You know how you do it? Pick up the phone. Hey, do you want to get together for lunch? You just start. You just start. You just start. Just say this. Say, just start walking. Start walking. Say, the trip's 500 miles. But I'm going to start walking. You can't go 500 miles unless you take that first step. But you can do it. It's in you. God's called you to do it. You know it. Do it. Right? And the cool thing is, when you mentor somebody, you know what the great thing is? Like, nobody knows about it. It's just you and that person. And you know what the Bible says, man? Those things that you do in secret, God rewards you openly. It's a principle. Faith has to be released. Lastly, how else does your faith be released? Out of here. Out of your mouth. Mark 11, 22, verse 24. Jesus says this, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, whoever says, everybody say says, to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it, and it will be yours. Mark 11, verse 22 and 24. Speak. Speak out of your mouth. Psalms 91, verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord. What am I going to say of the Lord? He is my refuge and my fortress. Psalmist says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. You know what? That is not a time where this psalmist was saying, oh, life is great. Life is awesome. I guarantee you that time was the time where it was troublesome. And he said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my strength. Speak God's word. We don't deny the circumstances that hit us. We don't deny what's going on the inside, either on the inside or outward stuff that's going on against us. We don't deny. It's not denial. It's not a river in Egypt. Right? It's not denial. It's to say, but okay, finally you left at one of my jokes. Okay. The Bible says, we don't deny it. We don't deny those circumstances. We don't deny those things. But we understand God's word is greater. God's truth is greater. What God speaks to you is greater. The lies of the enemy come in like a flood. But the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. What's that standard? What is that standard that God lifts up? It's the word of God. This is the truth. Devil, this is the truth. You're flooding me with all these lies about what's my future and my health and all this other stuff. Let me tell you what God's word says. That's the standard God will lift up against it. Proverbs 18:21, the power of life and death is in the tongue. You know what? It's so powerful that when Zechariah was in the temple and was told that his wife Elizabeth was going to bear John the Baptist, and Zechariah started doubting, and you know what the angel did? Shut up, Zechariah. You're going to mess this whole thing up if you keep your talking. the angel just like took that remote and went, boop, mute. You know, angel went, oh my gosh, you got to shut that guy up. Sometimes we need that God's remote. Sometimes it's just better for us to just stay quiet. Yeah. Boom. Boom. You're like, sometimes you're about to say something negative, and you just see God with that remote going, I'm about to mute you, boy. Boomp. Boomp. Your words have power. Listen, life and death are in the power of your tongue. And we don't need to become the confession police here at Hope Church. But watch what you say. Watch the curses that you speak out of your mouth over yourself. Our words, your words have power. Your words have power. Speak God's truth. So this is what we're going to do this morning. I want everybody to stand up. I want y'all to be ready. So you say like, David, why do you always tell us to say things? I'm trying to get us to exercise our mouths and speak the word of truth out of our mouth. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Right? I will say of the Lord, what will I say? He is my refuge. He is my fortress. I don't care what's going on around me. So I had our amazing tech team put up on the screen. So we're going to do this together. We're going to take some scripture and we're going to put those up there. Thank you, Tyrone. So what we do, what I do, this is what I do. What I do is I take scripture, the truth of God's word, and I personalize it and make it a confession over my own, a declaration over my own life. You're like, man, that sounds like new age, weirdness. I'm just taking what God says. Listen, you can either, and here's the word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So grateful to the Holy Spirit. It's really agreement. What agreement are you making? Are you agreeing with the enemy and his lies? Are you agreeing with the truth of God's word? And sometimes we need to say out of our mouth, faith comes by hearing, say it out of our mouth, and as we say it, we hear it, and it builds faith on the inside of us. Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. We're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, what we say. All right, so put the first one up there. This is Colossians 3:15. I want to say this. How are we going to do this? Let's say this together, right? Can we do this together?
It says,
all right, I let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. As a member of one body, I am called to peace and I am thankful. And then what I do is I'll take that, I'll have that scripture, and if that's a big deal that's going on in me, I'll just repeat it. God, I thank you, God, that I'm full of peace. God, I am thankful, God, that you've called me to peace. And then I like have other scriptures. Why? It's good to have the word of God on the inside of you so that you can go, God, I thank you that peace rules on the inside of me, God. Your peace reigns, God. That your peace is greater than my understanding, God. Your peace guards my heart and my mind and my heart in Christ Jesus. I thank you, God, for that. Go to the next scripture. All right, ready? I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in all respects. I bear fruit in every good work. I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Say that last part. I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Say it again. Say, I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Next one. I am being strengthened with all power according to His might. I have great endurance and patience. So I'll go this. I'll say, God, I thank you, God. It's not my might, but your might, God. And your might is strengthening me, God. Your might is building power and encouragement and building me up on the inside. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Next one. For God has not given me a spirit of fear. He gives me power, love, and self-discipline. Oh, yeah, I put the self-discipline translation up there in Jesus' name because I need that one. I need that one. Say, God, say, thank, say,
He gives me
power, love, and self-discipline. Say, I have power in Jesus' name. Say,
I have
power,
love,
and self-discipline in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Next one. Psalms, we're going to do a lot of them. Psalms 68, verse 19. Say, God loads me with benefits. He is my salvation. See, these are straight from Scripture. Psalms 68, 19. He loads me daily with benefits. God, I receive your daily benefit today. God, in Jesus' name. All the benefits that you have in Jesus' name. Say, okay, 2 Corinthians 9, 8. Next one. God makes all grace abound toward me so that I have all sufficiency and abundance for every good work. And then you say,
I have
an abundance
towards
every good work.
Every good work.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Say, I have all my bills.
They're paid.
And extra.
To be a giver.
Towards every good work. In Jesus' name. Next one is a familiar one to some of us. It says this. Say this. I can do all things through Christ who gives, who strengthens me. Sorry, I'm reading a different translation in my head. I can do all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
Through your own might? Nope. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And man, just break it down. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then like break it down in different places and say, God, I thank you, God, that you strengthen me. You give me power. You give me help. God, I thank you, God, it's not my ability, but your ability. You see how you can just break it down. Next one. It says, oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's right. You're right. Go back. Okay. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Say, I thank you, God, that you will never leave me or forsake me. And if you don't know what that word forsake means, it means to be deserted or abandoned. Say this, say, God, you will never desert me. Isn't that good news? Oh, man, you say it, when you say it, smile. Helps you. Say, God, you will never desert me or abandon me. Isn't that good news? Philippians 4:19 says, My God shall supply all my need. Amen. Next one. It says this. One, two, three. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Next one. Here, this is an important one for a lot of us. Say this. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Say, I have the love of God. Whether I know it or not. Say, it's in me. I walk in love. I'm a man or woman of love. I'm a person of love. Come on, people. I know. All right. Here we go. The love of God. Listen. When you do that, and you know what? I could make lists for you, but man, just go online. They're all over the place. Type in Bible declarations for me or something like that or whatever you're going through, and I'm telling you what happens. You know what? I'll challenge you. This week, I double dog dare you. You ready? I'm going to triple dog dare you this week to get out, find some confessions. Go to our website, find some scriptures about whatever you're going with, and just speak out of your mouth. And do it, man, I was going to tell you what time, but do it whenever you want. And do it with passion. Do it with fervor. And do it, say it, until something will change. I'm telling you, when you start, the Word of God is powerful than any two-edged sword. It is so powerful that God's Word will change you on the inside. It will cause you to turn into another human being. You won't walk out of your prayer closet. You'll like bust down your doors out of your prayer closet. And go, I'm ready to face the world. What can harm me? God, though all the world is thrown against me, though I have enemies on every side, God, you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. God, you are always with me. I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge. You are my strength. And I'm telling you, power will be, oh my gosh. Power will come on the inside of you. Listen, you can't face this world without God's word. You can't face the situations without what God wants to do in you and through you. God's word is powerful. But it only works if you start working it. It only works when you do your part, God does His part. When you step out and God says, walk, and you start walking, when you start doing what God's asked you to do, it's amazing. You know that the wind beneath my wings? I'm telling you, you'll sense it. You'll sense that power. Some of you know you're singing that song. Sorry about that. I'm really sorry. It must have been colder in my shadow. But you will start working. You'll work it. And God's word, I'm telling you, triple dog dare you to come back next week. I'll be 100th. But come back next week. And I'm telling you. I had this one guy, I'll say this. I had a friend of mine who never did any of this kind of stuff and was facing a mountain. So discouraged, so beaten down. Enemies, just everything but crushed him. He started learning about walking and confessing God's word. Listen, this is just agreeing with I'm agreeing with what you say, God. And he started speaking God's word. And I watched it. First of all, I watched him change. You talk about going up that hill, Jeremy. I watched him pick up speed as he's walking up that hill. I watched him in strength and power walk out. And I watched him, that mountain, he overcame that mountain. I watched it happen. And I watched his doubt when he began. And I watched it. And he's on the other side of it still today. Still speaking God's word. Still saying what God says about him. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 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 So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to stop speaking curses. We're going to stop speaking curses over our life. Do you deny what's going on? No. No. You can say this. You know what? How do you feel? Well, I feel terrible, but I know God's power is working on the inside of me, affecting a healing and a cure. I know that's going on. I may feel this way, but let me tell you what I'm really doing. The Bible says that God's the same Spirit to raise Jesus from the dead. That's a pretty powerful Spirit. Amen? Amen. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is working in my body. It's building and strengthening my mortal body. And God, somebody laid hands on me on Sunday morning. And God's power went into me. And the Bible said, don't listen to your body. The Bible says that somebody laid hands on me and they prayed over me. I did exactly what the Word of God says. That means then God's power is working in my body. It's affecting a healing and a cure in my body in Jesus' name. Right? Amen. I want to stir you up before I leave for Honduras. Work the Word of God. Work the word of God. Amen. I got to quit. Come on up, guys. In Jesus' name. Whew, come on. Somebody go ahead and shout, man. That's a good. Woo! Come on, God. God's so good. He's so faithful. He's awesome. Say, I can do what God says I can do. I can overcome whatever God says I can overcome. Say, this is the victory. That overcomes the world. Even my faith. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Whew, I just preached myself happy. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you. God, it's not about us. God, it's about you. God, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful, God, that you love us enough to die for us. We thank you for the great Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you indwell on the inside of us. We thank you, God, the greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Heads bowed. Just trying to follow the Holy Spirit here. What has God asked you to do? What has God asked you to do? And say, God, what's my first step? What's my first step? What are you calling me? What are you asking? What are you requiring of me to do? Some of you say, well, I don't really hear anything. Well, then just do what the Bible tells you to do. Whatever the Word of God tells you to do, just do that. Some of you need to become tithers. Some of you need to become, some of you are tithers. Maybe God's saying, I want you to be a giver and give above your tithe to different people and just be a blessing to people all around you. Some of you say that, you know, I feel led this purpose inside of me. I just want to challenge you, volunteer. What is God asking you to do? What you do is what I said a couple weeks ago. What you're doing is you're saying, God, I give you the keys to my life. They belong to you. And I trust you. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come over here, right over here at the front. Some of you, you just need to, maybe an act of faith for some of you is to come up here and have somebody pray for you. Jessica, you want to come down too? And let me just be honest. Just bow, just keep your head. Let me just pastor us for a minute. Sometimes we exit too fast. And I know there's times we have to go and there's things that we need to do. Well, we create this moment at the end of our services so that we can even maybe just process what we've heard even a little bit more. Talk to the Lord about what we've heard a little bit. And maybe there's times you just need to have somebody pray for you. We're supposed to pray for one another, as Scripture says. And it's humbling and it's, you have to humble yourself. But it's healthy and it's good to have somebody pray for you. Maybe it's a healing thing that you need. The Bible says, call forth the elders of the church and lay hands on you. The prayer of faith will raise up the sick. So as we do this worship song, if we need to leave, you can leave. But God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that you love. God, I thank you, Father, that there's more power available than we walk in. God, we thank you, Father. Help us to grow. Help us to be your doers of the word and not just hearers only. God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer, you can come down for prayer. If you just want to stay where you're at, we're going to leave this place a place of prayer and worship. If you need to leave, we're going to ask you to just step out. And we love you guys. God bless you. Pray for us while we're in Honduras. And I love this church so much. And God bless you guys. We love you.
Peace, bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. These lungs to sing once again. I will praise Jesus, Jesus. You'll make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. You'll make